countless salutations be upon the chosen one, the soul of mercy. Countless salutations be upon the divine candle of assembly of guidance.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Salatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Noorallah. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, we welcome you to another beautiful episode on the silsila, The Life of the Chosen One. In the very beginning, I will urge you, as our Shaykh al-Tariqat Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damul Barakatuhum al-Aliyah, the founder of Dawood Islami, encourages us to make as many good intentions as you can. For example, I will listen to the silsila from the beginning to the end for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and His Rasul Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi wa Alayhi wa Sallam. I will note down the important points and try to practice upon them. I will try to encourage them amongst my family members, my spouse, my children, and other Muslims in my society, inshallah azza wa jal. In this way, whatever other good intentions you can make, make them now to gain maximum thawab and rewards, inshallah azza wa jal. Indeed, there are countless benefits and blessings for those who recite abundant amounts of durood-e-paak, or salawat, or salutations upon the beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned in a summary of hadith that the person who recites durood or salat or salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 1,000 times daily, he will not die until he sees his place in Jannah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, don't forget, every day try to increase in your recitation of durood and salat to gain these benefits and rewards, inshallah azza wa jal. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, especially those who are joining us for this silsila, we had mentioned in the previous silsila that the year of grief, the 10th year of the Nubuwa, the announcement of the prophethood. In this year, why it is called the year of grief, Amul Huzn? Because Abu Talib, the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, passed away. And he was a great support and pillar for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bibi Khadija radiallahu anha, she also passed away. Just a few days after Abu Talib passed away, she also passed away. So this was double grief and sorrow for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore this year was called Aam-e Huzn, or the year of grief. Because these two pillars of strength, two supporters, great supporters, Bibi Khadija radiallahu anha, who's Ummul Mu'mineen, our beloved mother, mother of the believers, at that time when nobody supported Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
she comforted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with every way possible.
Yes.
With her wealth, with her life, with her time. She basically supported the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time when difficulty was at its peak.
Oh, absolutely. When there was nobody physically there. Another very famous incident that occurred when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was propagating Islam to the different tribes. He decided to go to the surrounding areas. And one area in particular, Ta'if. Ta'if was the area surrounding of Makkah Sharif. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went there to propagate Islam, to do da'wah and tabligh, and to bring them, invite them towards the path of Islam. And what happened? When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got there, the people, the ruffians and the wicked people of that area started to stone Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To such an extent that blood started oozing from the blessed and pure body of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it would get stuck to his blessed shoes.
Allah.
Imagine. Whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to take a rest, then the kuffar and the disbelievers and the wicked people, they would bring him up again and they would stone him. Imagine. And why did he go there? Just to give them the message of Islam. It is mentioned that while this was happening, Jibreel alayhi salam had come and told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you order me, I will tell Malakul Jibal, I will tell the angels of these mountains to crush these people. Because they are torturing you. Physically they are torturing. Blood is coming out from the blessed body of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will order them and they will crush these people. But look at Rahmatul Lil Alameen. the mercy to the universes, to all the worlds. Mercy not just to human beings, but mercy to things we can't even see, even to animals, to plants.
Finding it so difficult to understand that blood is oozing from the body of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For that Nabi for whom Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala had created the entire universe. From his body, blood is flowing. And his Mubarak Na'alain is flooded with blood. Allahu Akbar. Yet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not fighting back.
No.
He is not swearing.
Absolutely.
He is not using words that would hurt them. Allahu Akbar.
Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came as mercy.
Look at the rahmah of Rasulullah.
Absolutely. And Allahu. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replies in the summary of the narration
Allahu.
That no, leave them. I am in hope that people will appear from their descendants who will worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone
Allahu
and not others.
Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Imagine.
This is the nigah nubuwwah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Absolutely. And his knowledge of the unseen and the hidden as well. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew from their generations they will come believers. And today look, Alhamdulillah, in Taif today as we speak, they are believers, they are Muslims over there. MashaAllah. So this is showing many things in fact. Not just the mercy of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but also the tolerance and forbearance
Allahu.
And istiqamat. And also the knowledge that Allah has given him of the unseen and the hidden as well. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Huzur, Madinatul Munawwara. Zadahallahu sharafa wa ta'azima. In those days, in fact, before the Hijrah, before the migration took place from Makkah Sharif to Madinah Sharif, Madinah Sharif was called Yathrib.
Allah.
It was called Yathrib. Okay? And thereafter it was called Madinatul Munawwara or Madinatul Nabi, City of the Prophet, or simply it was shortened to just Madinah. Whenever, because Madinah in Arabic means city. But because now when anybody says Madinah, automatically we understand it's Madinatul Munawwara. There in Hijaz, in Arabia. Now here, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam decided to reside here, after the Hijrah, from Makkah Sharif to Madinah Sharif, the name changed. The name changed from Yathrib to Medina. Madinatul Munawwara.
SubhanAllah. So, Yathrib, what's the meaning of Yathrib, Hazrat?
Actually here, that information is coming soon, inshallah ta'ala. But the very interesting thing is, that this ancient Medina, in fact, ulama have said that we are not allowed to say Yathrib anymore.
Allahu Akbar,
because of certain reasons, which Allahu will Akbar. Be explained, inshallah, in future. But, you know, there's a very amazing incident that historically, Madinatul Munawwara is actually an ancient city.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
And it was occupied by certain tribes, the Aus and the Khazraj tribes.
So before Rasulullah went to Madinatul Munawwara, the Aus and the Khazraj used to reside there.
They were staying, and some Jews as well. Some Jews, they were also staying in Yathrib, which will be changed to Medina when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam finally decides to stay.
So obvious and zahir ki mere Nabi ke qadmon ki barkat se Yathrib bhi taiba ho gaya, mashallah. Ulama have mentioned, inshallah, further on to it will come, that if one person deliberately have to say Yathrib, knowing that this is taiba, Madinatul Munawwara, it is Madinatul Munawwara. And if somebody deliberately says Yathrib, then the penalty of that is this, that he must say Madina 10 times. Allahu Akbar. Because mere aqa ke tashreef awari se Yathrib Madinatul Munawwara ho gaya. MashaAllah, the whole world is behind Madina. Every Ashiq Rasul you see, he is saying Madina, Madina. So, why everyone is saying Madina? Jisko dekho, wo Madina, Madina keh raha hai. So, Amir Ahl Sunnat, بانی دعوت اسلامی حضرت علامہ مولانا ابو بلال محمد الیاس قادری رضوی دامت برکاتہم العالیہ, he says in his poetry very beautifully, مدینہ اس لیے عطار جان و دل سے ہے پیارا پیارا, مدینہ اس لیے عطار جان و دل سے ہے پیارا کہ رہتے ہیں میرے آقا میرے دلبر مدینے میں, بلا لو پھر مجھے اے شاہ بحروبر مدینے میں. سبحان اللہ. سو مدینہ So Medina is Medina because our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in Medina. Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Excellent point actually. You know, Huzoor, the thing is, when you look at Medina Sharif and we look at the mahal, the environment of Dawat Islami, I mean, here Amir Ahl Sunnat has, you know, put this word of Medina or Madani on the tongues of all the Ashikani Rasul. Whether you look at Madani Qafila or Madani In'amat or Medina Diary, from whatever it is, always trying to include some remembrance of Medina Sharif. And why? Because Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there. And this is actually to increase the ishq in our hearts. And you know, alhamdulillah azawajal, we are the Ashikani Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we love our Medina. We love our green dome as well, Gumbad-e-Khazra. So all these things are our signs, our display of love for Allah and His Rasul Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we mentioned that the Aus and the Khazraj tribes, along with some Jews, they were staying in Medina Sharif prior to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming to Medina Sharif and settling down, right? And these Aus and Khazraj, they were actually at that time Mushrikeen. They used to worship idols. And as was very common in Arabia, that many wars would break out for unnecessary things, for trivial, insignificant things. They used to fight and kill each other. And this happened as well. The Aus and the Khazraj tribes, they were in war, and this ended in the war of Bi'ath. And here many of the warriors and very brave people, they were killed. So there was no actually peace in the area. However, after accepting Islam, after coming in the folds of Islam and practicing upon the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all these conflicts and disputes they had was removed.
Allah.
Subhanallah. And now they were living in peace with each other, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, in unison actually. And they were given a title, Ansar, because of the much help that they rendered towards the cause of Islam and towards the Muslims. And this service is also mentioned in the Holy Quran. So according to our Islamic law, Sharia, the love of the Ansar and the Sahaba alayhim ridwan is essential if one wants to become a true believer. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Makkatul Mukarramah for Madinatul Munawwarah for the Hijrah, for the migration, those Sahaba who left were called the Muhajir or Muhajireen, those who migrated. And those who were staying in Madinatul Munawwarah and helped the Muhajireen, they are called Ansar. Alhamdulillah.
Very beautiful.
I want to ask you, Huzoor, that regarding the spread of Islam in Medina Sharif, why and how did this happen?
As usual, in the 11th year of the prophethood, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam visited Mina to preach Islam to the tribes concentrated there during Hajj. When six individuals of Khazraj tribe approached him, six individuals from this tribe approached our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked of their names and family background. Thereafter, reciting a few verses from the Holy Quran and invited them towards Islam. Rasulullah recited few ayats from the Holy Quran and invited them, gave them nekiki da'wat towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards this beautiful religion of Islam. Impressed by this reading and invitation, the six present there accepted Islam. Allahu Akbar. They thought to themselves first. The final messenger whom the Jews have been waiting for has indeed appeared. And he is Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We shall not let them have the honor of accepting Islam before us. Look at the raghbat. Look at how fast they want to accept Islam. And they want to make sabqat on this, that unse pehle, isse pehle ki wo Islam qubool kare, hum Islam qubool karna chahenge. Hi, hi, subhanallah. So they made this promise to themselves, let us accept Islam before anybody else. Saying this, they all embraced Islam and returned to Madinatul Munawwara to convey the message of Allah Azza wa Jal to their families and tribesmen.
Hazrat, if I may just add that also here as well, if any non-Muslims are watching this silsila, this episode, then we invite them as well. We invite you also, like these people who had heard about Islam, heard that the final and last Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come. So they were competing with each other to accept Islam. We give you the invitation also. Islam is peace. Islam comes from the word salam, which means peace in our lives, peace in our surroundings.
So and it's a way of life. It's a way everyday attributes.
Absolutely.
Every day.
So we give you this invitation of joining us as well. Come into the folds of Islam and you will realize actually that a revolution in your life. Positive revolution, inshallah, azza wa jalla. Huzur, the bay'ah of Aqaba took place during the 12th year of Nubuwa.
Okay, now this is the first bay'ah, the first bay'ah.
The first one. Okay, can you perhaps enlighten us about this, inshallah? Or perhaps, inshallah, I would enlighten our dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel. And perhaps thereafter, the next bay'ah, there was another one. Okay. Maybe you can enlighten us on that, inshallah. Now here are 12 individuals, they secretly accepted Islam in the valley of Mina by Aqaba. And history calls this bay'ah, this pledge of allegiance upon the hands of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the first bay'ate Aqaba, subhanallah. And you know, they also requested Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to appoint somebody to teach them the laws of Islam. Subhanallah.
Therefore, they wanted to learn about Islam.
They wanted to learn. So they asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, appoint somebody who can teach us about how to live Islam. Alhamdulillah. So Sayyidina Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu an, he was sent to Madinatul Munawwarah, spreading the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal from door to door amongst the Sahaba Ikram, amongst the Ansar, whilst staying in the house of Sayyidina As'ad bin Zararah radiallahu an. Because of his neki kidawat, going door to door and teaching the people, promoting Islam, propagating Islam, a few new people had embraced Islam. And this happened on a daily basis. As he was doing neki kidawat and inviting them, Amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar. This is what we are taught in the Quran, from our Islam, that order what is good and forbid what is evil. So he was doing this, Sahaba ikram alayhi wa ridwan was doing this as well. And you know, in the system of Dawud Islami, we call this neki ki Dawud, inviting towards goodness. That we go literally door to door and we invite the people towards the path of Islam, the practicing of Islam. And many other facilities are there that Dawud Islami offers in doing. And even this Madani channel as well is a form of neki ki Dawud. That we are teaching ourselves and educating with authentic Islamic knowledge our viewers and listeners of Madani channel as well. So with the tabligh and the propagation that was done by Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu an, every day, daily, new people were embracing Islam with the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal now spreading from Madina Sharif to as far off as Quba. The leader of the Aus tribe at that time was Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu an, and he was a very commanding personality, very courageous. Initially, he was uninterested. He didn't show any interest in Islam when he was invited by Sayyidina Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu an. But later, he was so interested and became so fascinated after hearing the recitation of the Holy Quran. Thereafter, he accepted Islam. The tribe of Aus followed him because he was the leader and they also became Muslims. And in the 12th day of Nubuwa of prophethood, according to the ulama kiram, unanimously, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled with his physical body on the Mi'raj. This is when the Mi'raj took place, alhamdulillah.
On the 12th year
of the prophethood. And this is where the gift of that 5 daily salah was given as well and made compulsory. And inshallah ta'ala, in our forthcoming episodes in future, we will discuss this explanation of Mi'raj as well, inshallah. We mentioned there was a second Bay'at Aqaba as well.
Then that was the first one. And then the second one, the second bay'at that took place in Aqaba, was in the 13th year of the prophethood, when tribes had gathered for Hajj, approximately plus minus 72 people secretly gave their allegiance on the blessed hands of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and pledged to sacrifice their lives for the protection of Islam. Subhanallah. انہوں نے بیعت لی حضور کے ہاتھوں میں کہ میرے آقا ہم اپنی جان دے دیں گے اسلام پر قربان کر دیں گے.
اسلام is spreading now actually.
اسلام is spreading now. This is the جوش and the جذبہ, the connection that they have got with our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. they made this promise in the hands of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Also present in that gathering was Hazrat Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was the beautiful uncle of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who had not accepted Islam that far. At that time he never accepted Islam. He said to the people of Medina, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is certainly a respected individual amongst the Banu Hashim, and we have always protected him from his enemies. We have always protected. Who said this? Hazrat Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He is showing the people that Rasulullah has always been protected. Therefore, if you wish to take him to your city, then listen. Protect him with your lives, and I'll have no objection. If you protect him, not with your swords only, not with your shields only, rather protect him with your own lives, with your own souls, then I have no objection. If not, separate yourself from him and allow us to offer our safety. So he had trust in himself that if Rasulullah is with us, then we will safeguard him. And if you are taking Rasulullah with you to your city, then make sure you guard our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with your life. Allahu Akbar.
Hazur, the Ansar, okay, they were also told by either Sa'ad bin Zarara radiallahu anhu or Abbas bin Nudillah radiallahu anhu, while offering the pledge of allegiance, this bay'ah.
Hazur also made promises to them as well.
Yes, yes.
That, for example, like,
my brethren, are you aware, they mentioned, are you aware of what pledge you are taking?
Sure.
For what you are taking it? Right. Know that this is a declaration of war with the Arabs and the non-Arabs, they were saying. They replied, yes, we are aware of this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then appointed 12 leaders from them, 9 from the Khazraj and 3 from the Aus tribes for this purpose. And the Ansar themselves, afterwards they actually dispersed into their own camps. During the following morning, the Quraysh, they came to know of this pledge of allegiance, and they proceeded straight to Medina Sharif. They were upset, they were angry. And they said, have you declared war against us by joining Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? A few companions of the Ansar, who did not as yet accept Islam, they denied it. And this pacified those disbelievers and they left. After some investigation, however, the word spread again. And the leaders of the Quraysh, they demanded the arrest of all those who were involved in this bay'ah, in this pledge of allegiance. The only person ultimately who was captured was Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiyallahu anhu. And he was later taken back to Makkah al-Mukarramah. When news reached Jubayr bin Mut'im and Harith bin Harb, they asked the Quraysh for his freedom. Okay? They asked the Quraysh of his freedom, lest they trade route to Sham, Syria, but this was put in jeopardy. And he was therefore released and returned to Madinatul Munawwarah safely. The migration to Madinatul Munawwarah, Zadahullahu Sharafa wa Ta'zeema. Now, at this moment now, Madina Sharif became a city where Islam and its followers, the Muslims, began to flourish. Because the first state of Islam was Madinatul Munawwarah, the blessed city of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And at this time, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also gave a general command for the Sahaba, alayhim ridwan, the companions, to migrate towards Madinatul Munawwarah from Makkah Sharif. The first person to do so was Sayyiduna Abu Salamah radiallahu anhu. And after him,
on the hukum of our beloved Nabi
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and after him, a stream of people began to migrate from Makkah Sharif to Medina Sharif.
Subhanallah.
The kuffar, the
and in Medina Tul Munawwara now, the Ansar are there.
Ansar are there.
So Islam Ansar has been spread all
yes,
over.
MashaAllah. And Islam is growing, it's increasing now. And people are coming from Makkah Sharif to Medina Sharif. They are migrating. So what happened here
and
is,
even as our previous episodes we have mentioned, that even Habsha.
Yes, yes. In fact, the first migrations took place to Habsha.
Habsha, right. So just in conclusion, to summarize it, Islam split, the first migration took place in Habsha, which at this day and time is known as Ethiopia.
Ethiopia.
Right. And Muhajirin from there did come back thinking that Muslims, Islam has spread in Makkah al-Mukarrah, rumors spread. Due to this rumors, they came back, but they realized it was just a rumor, and then they had to go back. However, then to Madinatul Munawwara, Muhajirin have been gone to Madinatul Munawwara.
And back to Habsha again.
Back to Habsha again. So now Islam has been spread round, and the kuffar are surrounded in the center, in Makkah al-Mukarramah. There's few in numbers. And they have realized...
But the numbers are decreasing daily.
Yeah, the numbers are increasing because they are in fear that the Muslims now are increasing throughout the country. Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. Just look at this planning of...
Amazing, Alhamdulillah. This is actually the hidden plan of Allah Azza wa Jal. That, you know, if Allah Azza wa Jal helps you, then nobody can defeat
Allahu
you.
Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. Therefore, now the disbelievers, they found out that Muslims... They are migrating from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwara, and they decided to stop this migration. They wanted to put as many obstacles as possible, but many Muslims secretly, they were not making it known. Secretly they were going. They continued to migrate. And only the people, the Muslims who were left behind, were those who could not afford to migrate, or those who were caught and they were imprisoned. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam at this moment in time did not make the hijrah. Yeah, for their sake, and also because the command from Allah hadn't come to do hijrat, to make the migration. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right now at this moment, did not make the hijrat, right? And with him, he kept two of his favorite companions, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and Mawla Ali karamullah ta'ala wajahul kareem. Hazrat, there was a conference that took place of the disbelievers. Maybe you could shed some light on this as well.
The disbelievers began to grow, as we just mentioned, right? Anxious after noticing the spread of Muslims from Makkah to Medina, the kuffar are extremely worried that Islam is growing rapidly. Islam is growing throughout the country, throughout the world. Even more, after realizing that the Muhajirin were being happily welcomed in the city and granted refuge by the Ansar, this made them even more angry. What's to be done now? So Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, relocating to that area, amassing an army and attacking them, began to be a greater concern to them. So the Quraysh convened a major conference in Darun Nadwa. They had a meeting, they had a conference, a mashwara, where their court of arbitration, wherein the most significant and prominent of Meccan society were present, including Abu Sufyan, Abu Jahl, Utba, Jubair bin Mu'tim, and many other kuffar, non-believers. They were the prominent people and the leaders and the wealthy people of Mecca.
They were present in this court.
They were present mashwara, in this meeting. Allahu Akbar. When amongst the leaders of the Quraysh was also Shaitan in the form of an old man. When asked of his family and background by the Quraysh, he replied, "I am a Sheikh of Najd, coming here to present my opinion to you." They after included him in the meeting. They included him in the meeting and began its proceeding. As the decision of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took place, okay, they're speaking on the topic of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a suggestion was made by Abul Bakhtari to have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam besieged in a room with his hands and legs tied, being given food from a small hole. Allahu Akbar. Ki huzur ko ek chote se surakh mein khana denge, usme se khana denge, and he will be tied and locked in a room. This mashwara was given by this person, Abul Bakhtari. The Najdi Sheikh responded, "This isn't a good idea. The followers will sacrifice their lives and limbs for his freedom after coming to know of this." Ki logon ko jab pata chalega ki Aqa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is kamre mein band hai, they will sacrifice their lives and their families to free the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this decision and mashwara that you have given is not right. This was followed by another suggestion made by Abul Aswad Rabia bin Amr Amiri, who said, "We should exile him from Makkah to another city, saving us from his preaching of Islam and reading of the Quran. Allahu Akbar. So if he's out of the city, no one is going to preach to us Islam. No one is going to give us neki ki dawat. No one is going to call us towards Islam. Allahu Akbar.
Islam won't grow then.
Exactly. So Najdi Sheikh mentioned on this, Allah's curse is on your idea. Don't you know the sweetness and the effectiveness of Muhammad's words, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Oath on Allah, if you send him to another city, he'll gain the support of the entire Arabian Peninsula through his magical words of speech, and return with his army against you. Allahu Akbar. This person is mentioning that if you're going to do this, no matter wherever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, take him out of the city. Magar his meethi bol, his sweet words, his kind words, the way he approaches in public, the way he speaks to people, undoubtedly spear in the hearts of the people. And he will make a home, a palace in the hearts of the people. And again, once again, Islam will spread throughout the world.
And this is all coming from Shaitan, who is in the form of a sheikh from Najd.
No, Shaitan yet now never given his mashwara. Now these are the people that are given, as I've mentioned, Abul Aswad, Rabi'a, and Abul
Bakhtari.
Okay. Yes, these people are giving their mashwara. It was then said by Abu Jahl, people, I think I have a solution which no one's thought of yet. No one has thought of this solution. The actual solution idea came from Abu Jahl, as he was the biggest and is the biggest ignorant of this ummah. Allahu Akbar. The conference, the people at that conference now inquired as to what is your mashwara, Abu Jahl? What idea do you have in your mind? Allahu Akbar. When Abu Jahl finally said, a man from every tribe should each sever Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a sword and effectively kill him. In other words, from all the tribes, each person should take a sword from these tribes, and at once we will attack on Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam. Na'udhu billah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Then every tribe will be held responsible, and the Banu Hashim will be unable to wage war against us all in revenge, having to accept compensation for this instead. So this mashwara was given by Abu Jahl, and the amount to be paid can be shared by the tribes. The amount that we're going to receive, or the amount that we're going to be paid to do this, whatever money will be given to na'udhu billah, astaghfirullah, murder our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that money will be distributed amongst the tribe. And no one will be at blame, because everybody going to do it together. So Banu Hashim will not now fight with one individual. Rather, all the tribes are involved. So the fight will be with all the tribes, not with one person. Yeah. Allah Akbar.
Family of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they apply for compensation rather, then the kuffar tribes, they will join money together and they can pay it. Yes. Okay.
So hearing this devilish scheme, the shaitani thoughts that came in their minds, Allahu Akbar, this is a plan, joyfully howled. This is a plan. No other plan can be accepted by this. That old man that was seated there, he said this in the form of shaitan. That old man was shaitan. Shaitan came in the form of an old man.
He gave this mashwara.
So he gave this mashwara. In other words, astaghfirullah, he announced that this is true and this is the best plan ever. And old people had greater respect. So as he was seated there, so people thought, you know what, he's the last man and he given a very beautiful, he accepts the mashwara of Abu Jahl. So he said, there's no other better plan than this. Na'udhu billah, astaghfirullah, let's murder the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Hence, all present accepted this proposal of Abu Jahl, terminated the meeting and returned home. This story is also mentioned in the Holy Quran in Surah Anfal.
وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ.
Allahu Akbar. And O beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, remember when the infidels were plotting against you to confine you or to slay you or to drive you forth, and they were plotting their own, and Allah Azza wa Jal was planning his own. And Allah Azza wa Jal's plan is the best. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So therefore, They planned whatever they had, but Allah Azza wa Jalla had a better plan. Subhanallah, subhanallah.
And time again, our ulama remind us that the secret and hidden plans of Allah Azza wa Jalla, we don't know. Yes, Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, because of the bestowal of Allah Azza wa Jalla, is also aware. Certain awliyaullah are aware of these hidden plans of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, we do hope that you have gained some insight on this pure, authentic knowledge of Islam and the blessed seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I know we have as well. And I'm hopeful and inshallah ta'ala you will join us next time on the same silsila, the life of the chosen one, for more information and input inshallah azza wa jal. Ameen bijahin nabiyin ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Countless salutations be upon the chosen one, the soul of mercy. Countless salutations be upon the divine candle of assembly.